Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to go before the people of God as we look and explore the Word of God together, realizing that we must grow in the knowledge of God to have success. We live in a world where everything is going on and everything has begun to appear as if it's okay. But I came to tell you tonight, there's only one way, and his name is Jesus. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. And the title of our lesson is, We Are Saved by Grace, All Things Through Christ Jesus Alone. And what I'm going to do is play a song, and after the song is completed, we're going to come back and explore the Word of God together. If one of you would like to pray, you can press the one button when you're asked to, and I'll open a mic for you to pray. And at the end of the program, if someone needs prayer, words of encouragement, or anything, you could press the one button and we'll discuss it at that time. But I am telling you that I am grateful for what God is allowing me to do. So I'm going to play the song now and I'll come back. Listen to it, be blessed, and say a prayer for our Bible study for tonight.
Come on in, come on in, come on down, yeah, and the devil.
And that song was, "It's by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus," Trinity 5:7. And as always, you know, more callers has called in. And I'm asking if anyone would like to bring us to the throne of grace at this time. God is extending an opportunity for you to be able to pray. If someone would like to pray at this time, please press the 1 button on your phone. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again that you have allowed us to come together for Words of Wisdom Wednesday night Bible study, plain and simple. Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, because you keep on keeping us on, that we're able to come together so that we can learn more of you, that we could apply it in our lives, dear God, and that we will have the right information of what the Bible is saying to God's people. Lord, please help us and guide us and teach us and show us the way. Lord, I ask that you open up our hearts and our mind that we could receive what the Spirit has to say. Lord, allow us to be better tomorrow than we are today. Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon the sick and the shedding everywhere, dear God, that you look down on people that are having financial difficulties at this time. Lord, and I especially ask that you help someone that's struggling with their faith, someone that has never accepted you because they don't understand everything about you. Lord, I pray that they open up their heart and ask, what must I do to be saved on tonight, dear God? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Spirit, and I thank you for your Son, because in Jesus, there's salvation alone. Lord, thank you for having us and loving us so much that you wanted to redeem us for yourself. Lord, I say thank you for everyone that calls in on Wednesday night, dear God. I know that's acts of faithfulness. Lord, and I thank you, dear God, that you keep us together, and we've been coming together so long. Lord, I pray that everything we do on Wednesday night give you honor, glory, and praise, because that's what we were created to do. Lord, I love you. I can't make it without you. I thank you, and I praise your holy name, all in the name of Jesus, your only begotten Son. Amen. Well, we're going to go into the lesson. And there some more callers have called in. And I want to thank each and all of you for calling in. But I also would like to thank everyone that listens on the Internet, in the United States of America and other countries around the world that are tuned in on Wednesday night. I ask a special blessing from God to be stored upon you for your faithfulness. I want you to know tonight our lesson is coming out of the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be in the second chapter. And I ask that everyone would read the book of Ephesians, second chapter. Because if you do that, even if you don't understand what you read, when we come together on Wednesday and explore the word, you may get more clarification. And anyone out there that has something that they can add to the lesson, please press the 1 button. Because I don't claim to know everything. And the way that you explain it, or the way that you interject into it, someone may get it better that way. The title of our lesson is We Are Saved by Grace, All Things Through Christ Jesus Alone. And I have to keep putting emphasis on that alone, because it's by Jesus Christ alone. That's a fact. So I'm going to do the background tonight, and the background is going to be grace versus works. I want you to know that the word salvation is designed as the act of being delivered, redeemed, or rescued. With that being said, we should realize that salvation is working for us here and now, and not just through eternity. You know, when some people think about salvation, they only think about what's going to, you know, that's something granted for the afterlife. But I want to let you know, if you look at the definition that was said a little bit early, the definition says that it delivers, redeems, and rescues. And that's what God is doing in our lives every day as he works things out together for our good, as he holds back the weapons that come against us and make them not prosper. You see, God is actively working on our behalf once we accept Christ with granted salvation, and salvation is extended to you now. You see, the Bible tells us that since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, each person is born in sin, inherited from Adam's. You got to know that. Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men, because all have sinned. So if we look at a scripture in Romans 5 and 12, it says, wherefore, as one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon every man, every and all men, for they all have sinned. You see, sin separate us from God, and sin destines each person to eternal separation from him. And if you don't accept the grace that he offers, you will wind up in the pits of hell. What each of us need is to be delivered from that state, the state of sin and separation from God and an eternal debt. In other words, we need salvation from sin and its penalties, because the penalty of sin is death. But the gift of God through his Son is eternal life. You see, the main difference between the beliefs concerning salvation by grace through faith teaches that men obtain salvation out of God's good grace alone, whereas those who believe that you are saved by your works, they believe that a person can earn salvation through good works. But I want you to know that no codes of the law or sacrificial acts can secure our salvation. So I went to 2 Timothy 1 and 9, and it says, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world begun. And that's deep, y'all. We didn't work and then got Jesus. God gave us him, and it was ordained before the foundation of the world. And it was according to God's purpose and his grace that we are now saved. You see, when God sowed his spirit and his words into our heart, we can expect divine fruit to be produced, which is good works. Just as God's grace pour abundantly upon our lives, our work will then flow as blessing into the lives of others. That's letting you know God didn't just give you this for you, and it should be used in the kingdom. And we have to be mindful of, you know, when we talk about doing works, we really not working because God need work. God needs nothing from us to be God. You have to remember that. And the scripture says that he has given us this so that we could pour into the lives of others. I want you to know that grace and works cannot coexist. So tonight I'm going to ask you, are you living today by grace alone? Or are you living by works? Because if you're living by grace alone, you receive Jesus Christ by faith and the salvation that he brings. And only he can bring. And nothing has to be added to him for you to receive that grace. You see how we are saved from sin. Most religions throughout history have taught that salvation is achieved by good works. You know, there's so many religions that believe that they don't need a savior. Some believe that they need a savior, but that God has not sent the savior into the world yet. There are some who believe you can do good enough to be saved. They are only fooling themselves. Others teach that the acts of saying we are sorry along with living a moral life is the way to atone for our sins. You know, I hear a lot of people say, you know, Jesus took away the sins, but you got to repent and you got to confess you're sorry for the sin. And some people say repentance means to don't do it again and all of those things. Yes, sorrow over sin is certainly valuable and necessary, but that alone will not save us from sin. There are many sins that you commit, you don't even know you committed them. So how can you ask forgiveness? And some sins you commit, you ask for forgiveness, and not every sin that you commit, you do. So if you believe saying you're sorry for your sin is necessary to be saved each and every time, and you really evaluate it, there are times you didn't. So do that rob you of your salvation if that's your belief? And you see, people say you must repent. But repenting is also valuable and necessary. And, you know, when you repent, you say you're not going to do that sin again. But salvation is not the result of good intentions. We may fill our lives with good work, but even one sin makes us a sinner in practice. And all sin is sin, not some, but all. And we are already sinners by nature because of Adam. No matter how well intended or good we may be. The fact is that we simply do not have the power or enough goodness to over the sin nature. You see, and another reason why salvation by works is a viewpoint in the natural or the ungenerated man, because half the time they don't fully understand the extent of what sin caused in their lives, or they don't understand God's pure, true, complete forgiveness of sin. You see, every time we add works for salvation, we deny the power of the blood of Jesus. You know, I've been having so many conversations which prompt me to do this lesson on the night from people. You know, they might be talking about somebody they know, and the person appeared to be saved, is saved from a long time ago, but they, as some of the people say, backslide, or they doing things that's not pleasing by God. And every time they see people with certain actions, they damn them to hell. But I want you to know, sin is sin. You can look at somebody sinning. If a person is doing an outward sin that you can see, you know, you have, most people have, you know, when you can see an outward sin, there's much more judging going on. There's so much judgment going on. But if you evaluate yourself, there are things in your life that you need to get rid of too. But all your things keeping you from salvation are the things that you're doing, the sin, keeping you from salvation, but it's putting everybody else in the pits of hell. When you judge that sin for somebody else as if you righteous, you have to be careful. And what it's thought to do is some people even begin to say, I don't do everything they do. You might not, but you're doing something. And they said our works are as filthy dish rags. So this should let us all know we need something more powerful than works. And this is where grace come in. Another reason that salvation by work can creep into denominations that claims to be Christian or say they believe in the Bible is because they miss the passage. Usually when people say works, you need works to be saved, they give reference to the book of James 2:24. You see then that man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And then those who believe that we are saved by grace through Jesus Christ alone, we have all of the writings of the Apostle Paul. So there's controversy going on in with theologians over the years and things like that that says that who would like to say that the Bible contradicts itself. You see, James say it's not. James says it's, you know, justified by works and not just by faith. And Paul says we are saved by grace through Christ Jesus alone. And people say they contradict themselves. The Bible contradicts itself. But I want to let you know tonight, if you take all things into context, you see, and you go back to James and go up a little bit further, and you start in James 2:14 and read through to 26, it will become evident that James is not saying that our works makes us righteous before God. Instead, he's making it clear that real saving grace is demonstrated by works. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, we're not working. If we are saved, truly saved, we are not working to be saved, but because we have been saved, we want to work. You see, the person who claimed to be a Christian but live a willful disobedience, live in willful disobedience to Christ, has a false faith. You see, good works do not contribute to salvation. So all of those people who think they're doing so good and so holy and have it all right and talk so elegant and, you know, frown their faces down upon others, I want to tell you tonight that your works are as filthy dish rags in the eyes of God, and good works do not contribute to salvation, but they will always be characteristics of one who has been born again. You know, with Paul and Timothy, the controversy they had, Timothy said, faith without works is dead. And Paul said, if I see your faith, you know, Timothy said, faith without works is dead. Paul said, faith is by Jesus Christ alone. And what both of them came up and decided and understood that if you have been saved, I should see your works. Good works are not the cause of salvation. They are the evidence of it. Remember that. And I'm not in no way telling you that your good works don't count. That's what we are supposed to do. But the good works is not what achieved our salvation, because according to God, we could never be righteous enough. The Bible tells us that because we could never obtain and be righteous enough to go before God, when we accept Jesus Christ, he extends his righteousness towards us. And the moment that we accept and believed and confess, we were saved. So if we did that before we began to work, then works for salvation could not be true. If you look at Jesus at his death burial and then at his crucifixion, and he was on the cross between the two thieves, and one of the thieves realized that Jesus was the Son of God, and he told him, when you get in your kingdom, remember me. Jesus told him right there on the spot, today you will be with me in paradise. Where were the good works? So don't think that I'm telling you that you shouldn't work. Every born again believer should be doing work for the kingdom. Everybody has work to do once he became saved. Work has its place, but work don't precede, hallelujah, salvation. Work comes after salvation. And if we look at the scripture, I'm going to go in Ephesians. I'm going to read the first through the third verse. And the scripture reads as follows. And you have he quickened. That word quickened there means to be retrieved or made alive. So I'm going to read it with that. You who have been retrieved and made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Y'all know that's Satan, huh? And the spirit that now worketh. And the spirit that now worketh. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. If y'all could hear me, please press the one button on your phone. All righty. Thank you, Jesus. All right. The phone had went off. I had to transfer phones to get back into the studio, but God is able. And we're going to pick up with the lesson where we stopped at. We were on reading the scriptures in Ephesians 2, the second. So the scripture reads, "And you has he quickened." Quicken here means to be retrieved or made alive. "Who ordained and trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had passed in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the lust of our flesh in all the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath." You see, if we look at this scripture, what Paul was really doing, Paul was just reminding us of our past, the condition from which Jesus saved us. You see, before Christ, we were in the world and living by God, then living by worldly standards. Y'all know how it was back then when you did whatever you wanted to do. Where everything goes, we were being ruled by the prince of the air, which is Satan. We did what we wanted, when we wanted, how we wanted, because we thought that we were self-made and only had to please ourselves. See, that's how we was before we met Christ. And that's why we often say everybody has a past and everybody done things, because that's when we walked in the world. And I come to tell you tonight from my own experience, even after I accept Christ, and I was saved, I didn't always do what was right. You see, none of that happens until the commitment comes. Do you really have a desire to change what you're doing? Do you really, really want to be better than you were? You see, we was making it up as we go. And we thought nothing about righteousness. We are not afforded the privilege to make it up as we go. Then, before Christ, and even now, since we should be using the Bible as our moral compass. You see, back then, we took pride in fulfilling the desires of the lust of the flesh, which is lust, and of our mind. All we used to do back then was lean to our understanding. We didn't go to sleep trying to wonder how to please God or waking up and seeing what you could do for God. So that was our old nature. Sometimes people judge others whom has been saved and have the characteristics of the world. You know, there's some people that are saved, but it seems like they're not doing what God says alone. And that's a problem. But it's our duty to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And I came to tell you tonight, no matter where you are right now in your life, no matter the trials and tribulation and the shortcomings and the things you haven't been able to conquer for God right now, just keep pressing towards the mark. Just keep holding on to God's unchanging hand. now allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you, and you'll be better. You know, we have a lifetime to live. We don't know when God is coming for us, but until he do, we will make mistakes. And hopefully we will get better in some areas, and we will get things out of our lives that we know shouldn't be there. But we have to continue to grow. And God wouldn't ask us to grow if we already had already achieved. See, people who believe they're all that in a bowl of chips and they got it all together. Why would God ask us to continue to grow? Why would he ask us to keep reading and learning? Why would he allow his Holy Spirit to live in us here on earth to help teach us? Because it's not a destination. It's a journey that we'll be traveling all of our lives, and hopefully we'll continue to sin a little less each day, which should be our goal. We'll never be perfect. And until there's no flesh on our body, the sinful nature that we inherited from Adam is still going to be with us. If we look at the verses starting at 4, 5, and 6, and it says, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us. Even when we were dead in sin, had quickened us together with Christ. For Christ we are saved by grace. Hallelujah. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Jesus. See, when he say has raised us up, just like Jesus was resurrected from the dead, we're going to be resurrected to receive the heavenly kingdom, to be in heavenly places along with Jesus Christ. He said, but he quickened us together. If God, first of all, we didn't go looking for God. God came looking for us. And he found us wallowing in our sin. And he came to us. If he did that while you were covered in sin, and hadn't performed any work, and he extended his grace to you, which is a gift, and God extended that to you for his purpose, hallelujah, and it was his will. You see, Paul in the previous verses asked us to take a look at our old self. And he let us know even then in our worst condition, God came and took us in. And now we have to take a look at our newness in these verses. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us. You see, the grace of God is his undeserved favor bestowed on those he has called into salvation through his love. Remember, God can't love you no more than he loves you now. Hallelujah. Do you really understand that? Cannot love you any more than he loves you now. That is deep. You see, it is his grace that saves us from sin. We are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ alone. We were vindicated and determined to be sinless in the eyes of God. You see, once you accept Christ for your salvation, when God looks at you. He can only see his son and the wonderful work and power of the blood of the Lamb. Our sins no longer separate us from him and no longer sentence us unto eternal death. Grace is not earned by your effort or on your part. Otherwise, it couldn't be called grace. Come on, y'all. You see, grace really, to me, and this just came to me, help us to understand our sin condition for what it is. You see? So I urge everyone to not go around and thinking they have achieved and they got it going on so good. Because the Bible said it was nothing that we could do or say, do to be able to save ourselves. You see, grace is free, and it's a gift from God. If our good works earned us salvation, then God would be obligated to pay us. Come on now, y'all. You know, I think it say a man earned his wages to be paid. So if our good works were on salvation, then God would be obligated to pay us. But no one can earn heaven, and God's blessings are not his obligation. You got to remember that. You know, some people believe when they do certain things that they should receive certain things. But you see, God's blessing is not predicated on your works. You know, sometimes people come to me and say, well, Sister Diane, I pay my tithes. And they say tithes is going to do this and do that and do that. And I don't feel like it's happening to me or happening for me. You know, other people say I go to church every Sunday. So I should be bountiful blessed because a lot of people don't go to church on Sunday. Going to church never could save you. But it could possibly help you to continue to grow in grace. And people have a way of making excuses for anything they want. You know, the people at church ain't right. But the people on the street ain't right. And the people in the world ain't right. But you'd rather be with them and they're not right than to be with them that you say is not right. Do the math. And then if you really believe in God and that, you know, you think about the church, you think God don't have the ability to give you a message as, you know, at the church fellowship, sometime that can help you. And you know it must be true because sometimes you could come out to church and five people say they enjoyed the message and five people have a different precept of why the message was for them. Ghost working in you to give you a message that is necessary for you to be able to achieve and go to the next level. But you stay away from church and then you just stay in the world. Do the math. No matter how diligently we pursue works to earn God's favor, I want to tell you that we will fail. Our sin trips us up every time. By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. You know, they had the laws, and there were 613 laws, and the people were supposed to obey the laws, and they believed that they obeyed the laws, that they would receive, you know, salvation. You know, they would receive deliverance, and they would be, you know, into the kingdom of heaven. And all of those laws, they couldn't do them anyway. If the laws that was on the books was enough to save the world, and God knew in his ultimate wisdom that man, if he tried really, 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 really hard, could achieve them all and enter salvation, he would have left that be the way to salvation. But you see, God in his ultimate wisdom knew that we could never save ourselves no matter how hard we tried. So he allowed his son to come and be be crucified and was buried and resurrected, that all of us could have a chance to the tree of life. We have to stop taking salvation and adding all these things to it other than Jesus. You know, when God opened the door to the Gentiles and the Jews was the chosen people and they believed in a law of circumcision, you know, the Bible teaches us after Jesus and them started teaching and they were still one of the Pharisees and the Sadducees were one of throwing this thing of being circumcised to be saved or to receive the blessings of God. They even told them that circumcision was made by the hands of, was done by the hands of man. And Paul told them, being circumcised or uncircumcised don't save you. But you see, people always have a way to throw something else on you. And that's how so many people are getting disgruntled with this thing called religion. You know, some of the people tell you, you know, they had a church that had started some time ago and their name was Yahweh. And the main thing they would throw on you and throw on you and throw on you was that God want to be called Yahweh. And if you don't call him Yahweh, then you're not saved. And he would ask you some foolishness like, how would you like to not be called by your name? When we look at the JWs, because that's the way they identify themselves now, Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, they used to, back in the day, you know, they used to say, if you don't say Jehovah God, you know, God doesn't hear you because, you know, we say God, that's not his name. You see how foolishness could creep in to all these things, and people have a very misunderstanding, and some religions that believe in holiness, they believe you have to be so holy till, you know, you can't do, if you do anything wrong, I guess then they figured it had taken away your salvation. I don't know what they think happened to you when you do something wrong. But have there ever been a time where man, no matter how good they were, no matter how much God was working with them, isn't it strange that mankind never been able to totally 100%. And you see, when you think of God and righteousness, you see, when we were separated from God and we got the sin nature, God righteousness is 100%. So for us to be saved by anything we could say or do, we would have to be 100%. And do you know any man or woman that could be 100%? When we look at the word of God, we see man and mankind and how God walked with them and talk with them, and God also allowed us to see their flaws. Yes, works is necessary. And God used your good works to work all things out together for your good. But you're not saved by works. And the verse 7 says, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. See, in the ages to come, while we live in now, this scripture is saying he wants to show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, in the Bible, Paul speaks of works. He often refers to things that produced by someone's effort in life. Connection, most of the time when you talk about work, it's in connection with the flesh. The flesh works hard to achieve results. going its own way, doing what it wants, always producing fleshly results stemming from self-fulfillment. Works. Decision in a man vote. You see, some people like to do some work so they could vote. Oh, I went and cleaned the church. I brought food to the sick. All of that's good, but you got to watch your intent and the attitude that you do it. And God said, if you do it to be seen among men, then you get a man's reward. You see, there's a connection with the flesh. We fool ourselves in believing that our human accomplishment equals God's standing for holiness. See, when you think you could be saved by works and you have all these good works and you need to be, you got to do all these works to be saved, adding that along with the blood of Jesus, you're saying that human accomplishments can equal God's standards for holiness. You see, salvation is not a reward for doing good things. It's not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us should boast. God said he was going to fix it. That's why God said he was going to fix it where no man could boast. God didn't want you walking around and say, I work good enough to be saved. How many proud peacocks you think they would be walking around here? And you're not saved by your works, and we got the peacocks. So imagine if that was the way for would be because of what they did. There are certain people take so much pride in the little things they do now. Lesson on if that was the way to achieve it. God said no man gonna ever have the opportunity to boast about what he did or what she did concerning his master plan for salvation for the world. Paul never shunned good works, yet he proclaimed, but because I am now, what I am now, it's all because of God poured out his special grace and favor on me. Faith and favor goes together. So, as we get ready to close tonight, I just want to reiterate again. See, when we truly understand what God has done for us, and to begin to be thankful for what he did for us, should make us want to work. You see, the only way to receive that salvation is by grace through Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us we are created in Christ unto good works. You know, the scripture talk about the good works. We don't work to be saved, but because God extended his grace towards us by allowing his only begotten Son to die for us, we should want to do good works. No work can save us. God's intention that our salvation will result in acts of service with our time, our resources, our talents, our money. You see, because everything that God has given you through his grace is not just for you. It is to be used for kingdom building. And as I close, if work could save you, then you wouldn't need the grace of God. God in his ultimate wisdom knew that man would never be able to save themselves. His love for us was so amazing that he extended his grace, a gift, towards us, enabling us to be redeemed to him. All who accept that gift is saved, free from sin and the power thereof. If it was any way that man could have the ability to save themselves, God could have spared his son from being crucified, buried, then resurrected to save us. Jesus would not have had to die. The Bible contains abundant evidence, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And that's our lesson for tonight. So I encourage each and every one of you, stop going around pointing a finger at certain sins and saying that person is not saved. And it amazed me so much that people say that homosexuals will not be saved. They point the finger and say it's an abomination. But if you study the Bible, you'll see that there's hundreds. Well, I don't know if it's hundreds, but it ain't no one. But there's many abominations from, you know, things that God looks as abomination. You know, they see someone using drugs and say they're not saved. Remember, once saved, once truly saved, is always saved. Jesus took away our sin, but the consequences belong to us. God is not an Indian giver. When we accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit came in and filled us until the day of redemption. He filled us. We cannot unfill ourselves. We can't give it back. So we just have to continue to press and try to be better each day. And it amazed me, so many people who think other sins is taking them to hell, and they never talk about their own sins. Sin is sin. No big sin and no little sin. And the only sin that is unforgivable is blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who keeps blaspheming the Holy Spirit is given an invitation for them to receive the gift of God, of grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So if they never accept Jesus Christ, then they never became his, and they don't belong to him, and they will lift their eyes up in hell. The only unpardonable sin being of the Holy Spirit. And if the Bible says that, I believe it. So let us thank God for his grace. Realize that his grace is sufficient. Realize it's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And decide because of that to do the work God have assigned for us to do. And that's our lesson for tonight. I'm sorry for the interruption with God. And we were able to finish. If someone would like to pray, someone would like to add anything to it, give words of encouragement, you could press the 1 button on your phone. For the people who have already pressed the 1 button for me to let me know that you guys could hear me, if you press it again, I won't be able to see it, and I'm not going to open your phone. I have a special prayer request. A lady, I think her name may be on the list that Sister Pam had, but I'm not sure. And Sister Pam, I can't get to you because your one was pressed. But her name is Brenda Pierre. She's in a rehab facility. And she called me on today and asked me to ask you guys to pray for her. She's about to be removed from the rehab place into another facility because she hasn't been able to walk yet. And so she's not able to go home. So I'm asking would you guys please pray for her. Brenda Pierre. She's my childhood friend. Anyone else would like to ask for prayers for anybody? Well, I'm going to just close out tonight with a benediction. As always, I thank each and every one of you. And I'm sorry that some callers, when they had lapse in chat, oh, someone pressed their button. Caller, your number is 715. Did you just press the one button?
Yes, I did.
Okay, this is Sister Elyria Mackey, our songstress from Bootville. So, Sister
yes,
Mackey, what would you like to do tonight?
I just call a priest.
All right. Have your way.
God, we thank you, Lord God. We just bless your name. We magnify and glorify your name, oh God. God, you said you call those things that be not as though they were, Lord God. And God, you said that the power worketh in us, Lord God. So right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, I speak life to Sister Brenda Pierre legs, oh God, that they would begin to move and that the strength would come into it in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I lift up every believer that's on this prayer line tonight, oh God, on this line. Lord, that we been enriched because you said that we ought to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you said in your word, with all thy getting, get understanding. So we thank you for opening up our understanding tonight. God, we thank you because your word declares that your promises are yea, and they are amen. And that you said by your stripes, we were healed, O God. And God, you said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you know how to deliver us out of them all. So right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I lift up everybody that's on the prayer list, Lord God, and I lift up a special prayer again for Sister Brenda, Lord God, that you would give strength to her legs, that you would give life to her legs, Lord God, that she would begin to walk, that she can go home. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for those that are supposed to be given therapy, Lord God, that they would begin to give her the therapy that she needs, Lord, that they begin to work with her, Lord God, in the rehab, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And all we will say yes to your will, Lord God. We will say yes to your will, Lord God. God, we come right now, Lord God, just to get more of you and less of self, oh God, because your word declares that this is the work of God, that we believe on your son, Jesus. God, and we believe that he is, and that he is a reward of those that diligently seek him. And you said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, Lord. So we stand on your word tonight. We say your word says, though the outer man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And we know this flesh perishes, O God, but we thank you for renewing the inner man. We thank you for inner strength, O God. We thank you because you are worthy. You alone are worthy of all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. God, we pray a special prayer for Sister Diane tonight, Lord God, that she would be encouraged and strengthened in her inner man, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you because we can stand on your word, because your word is truth. And you said the truth shall make us free, Lord. And who the Son set free is free indeed. But you also warned us to not to entangle ourselves again with the yoke of bondage. Lord God, we thank you because we are free and free indeed. And we can walk in the liberty and stand fast in the liberty wherewith you have made us free, Lord. And we just bless Jesus, and we give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you the praise tonight, because your word declares that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for deliverance power, Lord. I thank you for your healing power, Lord. I thank you for your grace, because your grace is sufficient for anything and everything that we go through. God, we thank you for what you have done in our lives, for what you is doing in our lives, for what you will do. We thank you in advance. God, I even pray for those that have lost loved ones, oh God, that you would encourage their heart and strengthen their hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. God, and we ask every blessing in Jesus' name, and we call it all done. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory.
I want to thank Sister Elyria Mackey for those wonderful prayers. Thank you so much. And if anyone would have anything to say, you can press the one button at this time. If not, we're going to go ahead and end our lesson for the night. I want to thank you guys when we had that lapse of service that you stayed on the line and God did what he wanted to do. So I thank each and every one of you. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll be back on next week.